You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
Mm-hmm. I'm liking that bumper. So good, so good. We are moving into a series called Powerful, if you didn't get it from what we just showed you. Moving from unlikely to powerful, that David was unlikely. He was a shepherd boy. He was out in the fields. And now we're going to see today him becoming a king, that he'll be anointed as king. And so we're going to talk about leadership today. We're going to talk about influence today. I'm going to give you some pitfalls of it and also some ways for us to continue on it. So welcome to Siena and Cyprus and downtown and those, the radio ministry as well, online digital family. We're so glad everybody's connected. I want you to do something. I want you to turn to Psalm 78, and then put your finger on 2 Samuel chapter 5 is where we're going to jump in just a second. Before we get there, or as you're turning there, I want you to know that tonight we've got something really, really special. We want you to be here tonight. It's 6 o'clock tonight. We're calling it Prayer and Vision Night, and I'm going to unpack for you where we're going for the next 2 years. Then we're going to go down to the Fitness and Recreation Center, our gymnasium area. We're going to have dessert for you. We're going to have a gift for you. It's going to be awesome. Now, let me tell you what's going to happen. At 5 o'clock today, you're going to be watching an NFL game, and you're going to go, I don't know, man. I'm just not really two time a day church people. We're not going. And then in your mind, you're going to go, but Pastor Greg said I need to go. So then you're going to get up, you're going to get in your car, and you're going to come. And then when you get home, you're going to go, I am so glad we went. That was awesome. Okay, so that's what's going to happen. I'm a prophet for you right now of what's going to take place. So, but I want you to be here. It's going to be incredible. We're not streaming it online. We're going to go to different campuses on different weekends, but this is the Loop campus tonight. We're going to have childcare up to fifth grade. And so we want you to be here to hear where we're going for the next 2 years, prayer and vision night of what God has for us in a great way. David is going to be anointed king. I want to give you a recap in Psalm 78, verses 70 through 72. I love, this is a great little leadership thing. I'm not going to preach on this. I'm just going to give this to you, and then we're going to jump to 2 Samuel. Here we go. It says in verse 70, he chose, that's God, David his servant, and took him from the sheep pens. I want you to write next to that, teenager, okay? He's a teenager when that's happening. Verse 71, he brought him up from tending ewes to be shepherd over his people, Jacob, over Israel, his inheritance. I want you right next to that, 30 years old. So we've got one verse that he's a teenager, next verse that he's 30 years old. Now here's a key, amazing leadership verse. He shepherded them with a pure heart and guided them with skillful hands. What's the combination of leadership? It's a pure heart and skillful hands. So these two things coming together, we just got a recap of David's life and a recap of where we are right now. Unlikely was our series we just came through. David's a shepherd in the field. He's been chosen. He's an unlikely choice. That's verse 70 and 70, basically 70 and about half of 71. Then verse 71 and 72, he's going to step in and we're going to see him become the king of all of Israel. He's going to move from a shepherd to a king. From a shepherd to a monarch, from tending sheep to tending a nation. And so I want you to hear this as we kick off. You are a leader. You are a leader. You may feel like, well, no, I'm not a leader. A leader is an influencer. Students, you're a leader in your high school, in your middle school, in your elementary school. You influence what happens at your lunch table. You influence what happens on the football fields. You influence what happens in the band room or the drama department or in the classroom. You are a leader. You are an influencer. And you're an influencer as a mom, and you're an influencer as a dad. You're an influencer as a single adult. In your workplace, you can set the tone. You can be a thermostat instead of a thermometer kind of person that changes what's around you. Every single person is a leader. Now, some may be leaders on the assembly line and some may be leaders in the boardroom. But everybody is an influencer and a leader. And David, we're going to see in his life some leadership characteristics. He's going to be an amazing leader. Best king Israel ever is going to have. And he's going to blow it tremendously. We could say blow it royally, right, with a king. So he's going to blow it in a tremendous way in a lot of ways. He's going to go great guns at the office, and we're going to see a lot of family wrecks. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 5, and I want you to be there and be ready, because here's what I'm going to do. I want you to know where we're going. I'm going to give you a point. I'm going to tell you about this point, and then I'm going to show you the scripture. So now you're ready for the scripture. We're going to get there in just a second. Being a leader is difficult. Being an influencer is difficult. Here's what I want you to get. The first point in your listening guide, it's hard to handle leadership and success. It's hard to handle leadership and success. I was texting recently with a friend that he's an amazing leader, great leader, and I was encouraging him and just wanted to say, man, great job. You're doing great. You're doing great. You're doing great. This is what he replied back. Here was his simplicity of his text. Being a leader is awful right now. Being a leader is awful right now. Why is it awful right now? Because we are so polarized as a culture, right? You could cure cancer and somebody would complain about all the doctors you put out of work. That's what you'd get in your Twitter feed. You cured cancer? Oh my goodness. Then you know how many doctors you just put out of work? I can't believe it. Blah, 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 blah. You'd be like, what? It's crazy. You can't win. If you say this, you should have said that. If you say this, you should have said that. If it's high, it's low. If it's right, it's left. If it's this, it's that. It's over and over. So my leader friend is a tremendous leader. His text was, being a leader is awful right now because it's so difficult. And so David is going to stand up. He's going to rise up. He's going to become the king. And we're going to see in the rest of his life, there's going to be a lot of battles that take place. It's difficult to be a leader. Now he's going to give us the first thing I'm going to give to you. We're going to build it out. And then I'm going to show you the scripture that it's a challenge to be a leader and it's a challenge to handle success. David has finally made it to being a king. After a decade or more of Saul chasing him to kill him, he's finally king. After being out in the fields, he's now at the throne of God. The stock has hit. The team is winning. The scoreboard says victory. He's finally met that beautiful girl. Life in his world is going great and crazy wonderful if we could illustrate it with those things. Yet it's going to be a very difficult time. Success can be hard to handle. Success can puff up our hearts with pride. It can inflate our view of ourselves. It can take our eyes off of obedience to God. It can put us on our own desire to build our own kingdom instead of God's kingdom. Success can actually be very difficult. Malcolm Marshall, our campus pastor in Siena, said this. It's a great quote. True success is not what you've done compared to what others have done. It's what you've done compared to what God has assigned you to do. True success is not what you've done compared to what others have done. It's what comparison to what God has assigned you to do. So we like to get competitive, don't we? We go, well, they got one of those. I got two of those. Well, they're a thousandaire. Well, I'm a 100,000aire. Well, they're this person on the chain ladders. Well, I'm a this person on the chain. I must be successful because I've risen to this certain socioeconomic place. When it's really, what has God called you to do? God's called you to be a farmer in the field with shepherding sheep like David was. Be successful at that. That's the true success. This life is a vapor, James tells us. Let's succeed by doing what God wants us to do. Chuck Swindoll said, we're often better at handling affliction than we are handling prosperity. Thomas Carlyle, a Scottish historian, he put it like this. He said, for every man that can stand prosperity, there's 100 men that can handle adversity. See, prosperity and success and leadership can actually begin to wilt your heart for God. Now, am I calling you to be unsuccessful? No, that's not what I'm trying to do. Hey, students, make an F instead of an A. That's not what I'm saying. Make an A. You should make an A. Try to do your best, whatever it is. Do your best. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that we've got to look and we've got to understand that there's also trappings of this. So we want to fulfill what God has us doing, but we don't want to lose our heart in the process. Success can be a blessing. It can honor God in great ways. It can be a wonderful thing. David's going to be successful and honor the Lord. David's going to be successful and he's going to dishonor the Lord in some ways. But success can also be a workshop of the devil in the heart. And leadership can be a workshop of pride in the heart because now you're the man, you're the woman. You're in charge. You got your little kingdom. We got to keep it. We got to maintain it. We got to have all that. How much of our anxiety is built on us staying where we are right now and just being able to not, I just don't want to lose anything. And the more you got, the more you have to lose and the more scared you can get sometimes. So here we have David is on this journey, and he's being placed into a big place of leadership. And I'm going to show you in just a second how he is going to mess up, how it's going to take place in this. We can end up with that being a little bit of a problem. I think about just this week, Kelly and I, we go on date lunches because we've got kid activities in the evenings. We used to go on date nights when we didn't have kids. And then how do we do this? So now we go on a date lunch. So once a week, my wife and I go out to lunch, which is awesome to be able to do. So we went out to lunch. It was not anything big and fancy. I had a baseball cap on and shorts, showed up at lunch. We sat down. We started eating the appetizer that was there on the table. It was really good. And I could feel in my heart this desire to have, this waiter's not giving us enough attention. Why do I have to keep waving? We need to get this person coming back over here. Man, I hope the food's really hot. I like it this way. I hope that they don't have this item. What do I want on this menu? All this stuff. And when it was time to bless the food, this is what I prayed. And Kelly probably was like, man, I didn't know you were struggling with all that. I said, Lord, I can feel in me a desire for gluttony. And I can feel in me that I feel like I'm the most special person in this entire place. And I want it to be awesome for me. And I want to crucify that before you right now in this moment. You ever felt it? I don't want this much. I just want what I have to be perfect. And if it's not, and you're spending too much time on that table and not my table, and we're not here, you're not there, where I am, the food's just a little off, and this isn't like, you know, crazy expensive place. I'm in a cap and shorts. But I could feel in me, I'm the important person, and it's time for me to be waited on. And I said, Lord, crucify that in me, because that's a seed that can blossom into a problem. Now, am I successful because I went out to eat? No, I think you went out to eat this week too, right? Big deal. But you start turning it on yourself and to be able to have that in your heart. Now, watch David fall. We're going to see a seed get planted, okay? We won't see the fall. I shouldn't say it like that. We're going to see a seed get planted. Turn to 2 Samuel 5. You should have your finger there. Chapter 5, verse 10 through 13. Watch what happens. You ready? We're talking about success and leadership can be a problem, and we're going to see him with a fall right here. Verse 10. Verse 10 is awesome. Underline verse 10. And David became more and more powerful. Amen. Wasn't that great? And the Lord, the God of armies, was with him. Isn't that, wouldn't you like that? What's your theme verse for life? Well, my theme verse is I became more and more powerful and the Lord God was with me, right? Well, things are going to work out good for you if that's the deal. Now, verse 11. King Hiram of Tyre sent envoys. So another king's given him gifts to David, sent cedar logs and carpenters and stonemasons, and they built a palace for David. So David's not living in the fields anymore. He's living in the palace. Verse 12, another good verse. Then David knew that the Lord had established him as king over Israel. That's cool. And it exalted his kingdom for the sake of his people Israel. Watch verse 13. After he arrived in Hebron, well, I'll show you that in a minute. After he arrived in Hebron, David took more concubines and wives from Jerusalem, and more sons and daughters were born to him. David gets powerful. David gets his whole thing going. David's got kings giving him gifts. David's living in a palace. David's got the power of God. David's got the hand of God on him. All these things are happening, and he begins to say, I want one more wife. I want one more concubine. I want one more of this. I want one more of that. I'm not satisfied with just the chips on the table. I need the this, that, and the other. I need the dessert at the end. I need everything that's there, and that's a seed planted. That verse is going to turn into the issue with Bathsheba that we'll cover in 2 weeks. That's where it's going to come. Did you see it? Now, why is he getting all these wives and concubines? Why is he doing this? Is this what God wants? Deuteronomy 17:17. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to put it on the screen. This is God's word. God's declaring to the king. Here's what he's declaring. He must not acquire many wives for himself so that his heart won't go astray. He must not acquire very large amounts of gold and silver for himself. So when you read in the Old Testament and you see all these kings had all these wives, is that what God wanted? Absolutely not. I just gave you the verse. Now, I know men, you're like, man, I don't even know what to do with the one wife I got. I mean, last thing I want is eight. I mean, this is hard enough as it is to listen, you know, and to keep things going. So, and it's a blessing, right? It's a blessing. We do mean that. It's awesome. And it is. But to be able to have all this, but he wants one more, one more, one more, one more. Till finally, he's not even satisfied. He says, I want Bathsheba. And he begins to wreck his life. He's great at the office. He's wrecking it at home. He's wrecking it at home. If you were to turn to 2 Samuel 3, verses 2 through 5, you would find that he had 6 kids. That's cool. But he had them with 6 different wives. By the end of it, he's going to have over 20 kids with over 8 different wives. And he's going to end up with a problem with Absalom. He's going to end up with a problem with other stuff going on in his family, Tamar. He's going to end up with all this stuff that's going to happen. And even with Bathsheba, the seed is planted in him. I want what I want when I want what I want. And that seed is the death of leadership. That seed is the death of leadership. But success can trick you. Success can trick you. Point two, how do we prevent it? Here's how we prevent it. Be in God's plan and in God's position. Be in God's plan and God's position. So we're going to look now. We're going to go further up in the scripture. We're going to go to 2 Samuel 5. That's where you are right now. And we're going to go to the beginning of that chapter. So I showed you verse 13 when he's starting to have the seeds falling apart. Now we're going to go up to verse 1 through verse 5. Okay? So we're going back in time a little bit, and we're going to see him get anointed, and I'm going to give you this point. Here we go. Verse 1. All the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, here we are, your own flesh and blood. While even Saul was king over us, you were the one who led us out to battle, and you brought us back. The Lord also said that you will shepherd my people Israel, and you will be ruler over Israel. So all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and King David made a covenant with them in the Lord's presence. Do you hear the spirituality of that? And they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began his reign. Now watch this, a little bit of a math problem. He reigned 40 years. So he's going to reign till he's 70. Verse 5, in Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months. And in Jerusalem, he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. He has learned to wait on the Lord. Have we learned to wait on the Lord? Well, it's a continual learning process to learn to wait on the Lord. He waited for God's plan. He was anointed when he was a teenager to be king, or selected to be king with Samuel. He was chased by Saul for over a decade. He's waiting. And then he ends up in a place where finally he becomes king, and he stays in Hebron for 7.5 years before he goes to Jerusalem. Here's what Chuck Swindoll says about that. David was about 30 years old when Saul dies, but he does not immediately march into Jerusalem to take over the whole nation. Instead, he follows God's instruction. God said, I want you to go to Hebron. He follows God's instruction and he goes to Hebron, where he has a limited range over the people of Judah for 7.5 years. And he does not complain. He is not anxious. He has learned to wait on God. See, he knows Luke 16:10. It's New Testament. It's not written at this point, but Jesus' principle, faithful in little, Hebron, faithful in much, Jerusalem. Let me just speak particularly to the young folks. I just want you to know. Here's what I want you to know. You do not want to rise fast and crash hard. You don't want to rise fast and crash hard. And I got bad news. And you can say, no, won't happen, won't happen. Just take it from all of us that lived a little bit more life. A lot of the stars you're watching right now are going to self-destruct. I hate to say it. I don't want it to be true. I don't want it to be the facts, but we've seen it over and over and over. A meteoric rise has typically a very harsh fall. You want to just slowly go. Slowly, slowly, slowly. Watch the people that have built a $1 million business, and watch the people that won $1 million in a lottery and see their financial prowess of what happens. Who's got the $1 million later? So a fast rise can be really dangerous. God has got David on a slow, distinct walk. That's what he's got him on. You're going to get chased by Saul for 10 years. You're going to have to trust me through all this. You're going to have to trust me with a slingshot and some rocks. You're going to have to make it through. You're going to have to show up at the office early, stay at the office late. You're going to have to take care of your home and your family with Jesse and all your brothers. You have to do all these things because I'm getting you ready to shepherd an entire nation. Saul was the people's choice. David was God's choice. Saul had everything going for him, and he crashed and burned in the end. David's going to have a lot of problems as well, but God is preparing him in this. He's saying, you were a shepherd in the fields. I got to get you ready to be the shepherd of a nation. Because here's the deal. You drive cattle, you lead people. And when you lead people, you lead them as a shepherd that moves us along as a people group. That's how you do it. You lead. You don't just drive and demand. And so here, David is getting ready. And then finally, at age 37, the humility at Hebron prepares him for success at Zion. His flesh could have sought his own way, his own timing, but he knew, Jesus said in Matthew 23, verse 12, whoever exalts himself will be humbled. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Times of waiting and preparation are never random. They're God's purpose for you. Singles, you're not married right now because you're not ready to be married right now. Trust the Lord to prepare you, to bring you when the timing's right, what God wants to do in your life, and surrender to him with it. Times of waiting and preparation are never random. They're purposeful for God's plan and God's position so that God can put him in the right place. I put a quote for you on your listening guide of just the hard times of waiting. We don't like waiting. Here's what it says. Mature spiritual leadership is forged in the crucible of difficult conversation, the pressure of conflicted relationships, the pain of setbacks, and the dark nights of the soul. You want to be a leader? Be careful what you wish for. Because God is going to take you through times where your best text is, leadership is awful right now. But that's where it gets formed, in that waiting, when you don't see the success and you keep walking it out. But we don't like to wait, do we? Do you like to wait? I don't like to wait. When you're at the grocery store and you're standing in line and you see the checker just kind of going over to the register, in your mind, you're thinking, a new register's about to open, and that register's for me, is who it's for. That's who it's for, it's for me. So you take your cart, you just start angling it just a little bit. Nobody can really tell. But now you got it ready. You got your feet in the blocks. And when that light goes on at that number, that register, that rope goes down, you're gone. In the name of Jesus, banging other carts, right, to get in there. Because we don't like to wait. Why are all these parking spots filled with somebody else? Where's the one for me? We don't want to wait. We don't want to be there. We don't want to be in charge. It's for somebody. They don't know how busy I am. I got to be someplace. There's something in us with waiting that just has to be crucified, doesn't it? Has to be ended. It's hard to wait. Gen Z statistics show that you think that you're going to become a CEO by age 25. I mean, just burst your bubble right now. Unless you start the company and then you tell the other three people on your staff that you're the CEO, it probably ain't gonna happen. But everybody thinks we're gonna have 1 million Instagram followers by 20, we're gonna be CEO by 25, we're gonna be a millionaire by 30, and we're gonna retire and just let it all be at that. People have been working 30 years to become an overnight success. And it's a long road of that. Now, if it happens like that, awesome. I hope it's great. Be as successful as you possibly can, and I hope you tithe. You know, I mean, that's all I can say, right? It'd be great. But to be able to say, Lord, I'm on the track about pleasing you, not on the track about building my kingdom. David then begins to allow God to do that and prepares him. He humbly waits on God. Now, point three, last point, and this is a big one. Leaders ask God for his plan. Leaders ask God for his plan. I want to show you in the scripture, beginning in verse 17, what it says here of God, or of David inquiring of the Lord. I'm going to tell you a few things to underline, so if you got a pen, get ready. Verse 17. So when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, they went in search of David, but when he heard it, he went into a stronghold. So the Philistines are coming at him. Philistines are bad people. So the Philistines came and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. Watch verse 19. Then David, hard time, what's it bring? Then David, underline it, inquired of the Lord. Should I attack the Philistines? Will you hand them over to me? The Lord replied to David, attack, for I will certainly hand the Philistines over to you. Well, that's good news. So David went out in Baal-perazim and defeated them there and said, like a bursting flood, the Lord has burst out against my enemies before me. Therefore, he named the place, the Lord bursts out. The Philistines abandoned their idols there, and David and his men carried them off. Verse 22, watch. The Philistines came up again Leadership is continual battles. Came up again and spread out in the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of the Lord. Same thing. God's got a different answer. He answered, do not attack them directly, but circle around behind them and come at them at the opposite of the balsam trees. And when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees, act decisively. Another leadership principle. For then the Lord will have gone out ahead of you. Leaders are really followers. To strike down the army of the Philistines. Verse 25, last verse. I want you to underline it. So David did exactly as the Lord commanded him and struck down the Philistines all the way from Geba to Jezer. So here we have David listens to the Lord. You see, two times David inquired of the Lord. He didn't say a slingshot and rocks this time. He said, there's going to be a marching and the sound of trees, and I'm going to go before you. Wow, how cool is that? That God can go before us. Here's what I want you to hear. This is a big point, especially if you're a type A leadership type person. I want you to hear this. Leaders are driven, they're smart, they're visionaries, and they're fixers. But they also have to be inquirers and listeners. You can be a fixer all day long, because that's what happens. You just fix problems all day long. You have to also be a listener and an inquirer. How much better would our marriages be if we quit trying to fix our spouse and we begin to listen to our spouse and inquire? Well, why do you feel like that? Well, what are your thoughts with that? Well, what's going on in there? And then if you're the one being asked a question, you start getting it out. Appreciate those questions. Realize they're loving you with those questions, not trying to pin you to the wall with it, but loving you through it. And then get to a place where he did act decisively and there was a fix. So it's a circle we've got to be able to do. But I want you to hear, as leaders are also inquirers and listeners. What do I mean by that? David inquired of the Lord and he listened. I'll give you a challenge for your life this week. Take off your watch, set your timer, and spend 5 minutes in silence with God. And about minute three, you'll start getting jittery. And you'll say, I wonder, is there an app for how to spend silence with the Lord? Let me just see if there's an app. Maybe I should Google how to spend silent time with God. Hey, have you ever spent silent time with God? Pastor Greg should have to do it. And it's kind of weird. I'm on minute three. I'm trying to just hold my breath and get through 10 more minutes. But can you talk to me for 2 minutes so I could just... It'll drive you crazy. If you really want to get spiritual, try 15 minutes with God. And you'll think of everything you've ever needed to do on your shopping list or things to do list in your entire life. And you'll give this excuse. Here's what you do. I'm just a doer. And it's going to hurt you in the long run. Every believer in Christ has to first be a listener and an inquirer of God, or we are just on a hamster wheel asking God to fix the problems we keep creating. Many of us are planting seeds and hoping for a crop failure. We're planting bad seeds and we're hoping for a crop failure. And David comes and he inquires of God, the king. He's been walking with God a lot of years and he inquires of God and he gets quiet with God. And God goes, I got a plan and you never even heard of this plan. You ever heard of the marching in the trees plan? Never heard of that one. You're going to hear sound in the trees and I'm going to fought the battle for you. Awesome. Leaders ask for his plan. So David, I'm giving you this, and we're going to wrap it up. David had a warning. There's a warning. Be careful about leadership and success. Go for leadership. Try to succeed. Do your best. I'm not negating any of those things. But be aware that something can get in your heart where you think you're something. God's the one that did it. He's the one that gave the power. He's the one that gave the strength. He's the one that gave the blessing. So don't take it as your own. Continue to surrender it to him. Then the next point is the point of being able to say, I want to be in God's plan and in God's position. That's where I want to be. And then the third thing is that I want the Lord to hear me asking for his plan. God, I want to keep coming to you because I don't want to get in that ditch. I want to keep coming to you of walking and listening for your plan. And then God can do something amazing in your life. You are a leader. And we need you to be a leader. And we want to see God succeed in your life tremendously of what he's called you to do. So get your eyes off everybody else and get your eyes on God and follow what he wants you to do. Last illustration I want to give you. The name Eric Little ought to be a name that you know. If you don't know it, I'm going to tell it to you right now. Chariots of Fire was a movie way back. He was a runner in the 1924 Olympics. I just finished an audiobook that had a piece of it that was a biography on Eric Little, and it got me fired up about him. Amazing, amazing man. He was going to run on Sunday. They wanted him to run on Sunday in the Olympics in the 100 meters. That was his best event. And he said, I'm not going to run in the 100 meters. That's the Lord's day. And he ended up running later on in the 400 meters and got a gold medal in the 400 meters. Now that's incredible. The 100 meters is far different than the 400 meters. And so he wins gold and he becomes a missionary in China after that. Has a great, amazing ministry in life and all this sort of thing. And he died at a very early age, though, of 43 years old. Can you believe that? 43 years old. He was in the hospital. He was laying on his literal deathbed and he was talking with a friend. And she was saying to him, Eric, you just got to let go of what you want. And you got to have whatever God wants. You got to say, not my will, but yours be done. And you've got to surrender it to God and surrender it to the Lord. Eric Little, his last word, he looked up at her and he said, surrender. And he died. The last words on his lips was surrender. I say amen and yes. That's how you do it. That's how you live in success. That's how you live in adversity. It's how you live with a lot. It's how you live with a little. It's how you live being a leader on the assembly line and being a leader in the boardroom. It's how you live. Surrender. I give it to you, God. My office, my home, I surrender to you. Father, we come with a heart of surrender. We love you, Lord. We thank you. You are amazing, incredible, powerful. Thank you that your Bible allows us to see the totality of leaders' lives. We don't just get the highlight reel. We get the struggle, and we can relate with that. Take a moment right now. Maybe you're a believer in Christ and have been for a long, long time. Would you just whisper that word to Jesus, surrender? Do you just surrender afresh your home, your office, your school, your workplace, your family, your friendships? Maybe right now you're a leader and it's an awful time of leadership right now. Just tell him again, you surrender. Maybe you've never trusted Christ as your Savior and all this is new and you don't know who David is and you're not sure what we're even talking about, but you know something in your heart's going on. Do you surrender your sin to Jesus' death on the cross and receive his salvation? Say, Jesus, I want you to be my Savior. Forgive me. Wash me clean. Save my soul. Are you fighting God on something? Nobody else knows it, but you know in your heart, you're fighting him. Surrender. Let him fight on your behalf. There's a sound in the trees. Let him go before you. Lastly, maybe your life, you've started out building God's kingdom, but now you've been busy building yours. Just come back to him and surrender. You know the route. Come home. We love you, Lord, and we just tell you, surrender in life and in death. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our four locations, at The Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.